Welcome to Unfuck Your Brain. I'm your host, Cara Lowenthal, Master Certified Coach and founder of the School of New Feminist Thought. I'm here to help you turn down your anxiety, turn up your confidence, and create a life on your own terms, one that you're truly excited to live. Let's go. Hello, my chickens. How are you? It has been raining in New York for, I don't know, feels like 7 weeks straight. That's probably not right, but I'm a little bit like waiting for the arc to float by. I don't feel like I've seen the sun in several days, so I have some thoughts and feelings about that, but you know what? That's okay. I'm managing my mind. I am getting over being sick, and that always makes me feel super appreciative of even my baseline of health, which is, you know, solid. And just that kind of feeling that life energy return is such a kind of beautiful experience, really is that 50-50. So I have been thinking about this podcast episode for a while, but it took some thinking to just kind of settle on how I wanted to approach it. And to be honest, that's because the idea for it came from me feeling a little annoyed. So like the spark of the idea, the germ of the idea was actually a little bit from an unmanaged mind, but I proceeded to manage my mind about it and I decided that there was something useful in here. So I'm going to tell you why, and I'm actually going to, as like both while I'm talking about the substance of the episode, I'm also going to like walk you through my process because this is actually just a great example of doing thought work, right? So here's where this started. My social media network is made up of a lot of coaches for obvious reasons. You know, this is my professional colleagues. I still also have my former life, people from my social media. So I just kind of actually love that because I have my social media is just like so diverse in terms of like people's backgrounds and politics and belief systems and priorities. It's just like everything from like radical anarchists to like prosperity, gospel, the secret believers, just like really the whole range. It's fascinating. So anyway, lots of coaches and, you know, various associated similar type work. And in the last few months, I feel like there's been this sort of uptick in increasing kind of posts and complaints about why quote unquote thought work doesn't work for XYZ problem, right? Whatever it is. And like the post will say something like, you know, they're describing a problem that a potential client might have. And then they're saying like, thought work absolutely won't work on this. You have to process the emotion. Like you have to deal with this on an emotional level. Don't try to change your thoughts. And every time I read something like that, I'm like, well, processing emotions is part of thought work. Like if you are teaching thought work, you're teaching people to process their emotions. And I'll get to kind of whether that's true in a minute. Or like for another example, I'll see a post that talks about how thought work, quote unquote, can't solve every problem. Like you shouldn't thought work yourself into staying in a bad relationship. And I'm sort of reading it like, yeah, I think we all agree on that. Like, I don't think anybody's teaching that you should thought work your way into staying in an abusive relationship, right? So I've been doing this little conversation in my head every time and like feeling kind of righteously irritated over it, which we all know that that feeling can feel good for a minute. Like, let's not lie. The reason righteous indignation is so attractive sometimes is that it fucking feels good, right? We get like some kind of neurochemical hit from feeling like we are justified in our indignation and the other person's wrong. And that may be more true actually for, I hadn't thought about this before, but as I'm talking, I wonder if it's more true for people who are socialized as women or in other marginalized identities where they're basically taught they're not allowed to be angry and that their anger is not acceptable and is dangerous and they're taught to sublimate their anger. So I wonder if like we're even more excited to get to feel righteously indignant, right? Because like anger is this intoxicating feeling that we don't let ourselves have a lot of the time. So anyway, that's a side note. But so, okay, so I'm like doing this. I'm like reading my social media. I'm having a little righteous indignation in my brain all the time. And, you know, but then I decided to coach myself. And I decided that being irritated about someone else's social media is not a good way to spend my time. And like, what is this really about? Why do I even have a feeling, right? I read posts about everything in the world and I just like don't care and I don't agree with them and I move on. So like, why am I kind of glitching on this? And I think that's just an example of a crucial aspect of what I call thought work, even though I have not yet defined thought work on this episode, we're going to get there. But a crucial aspect of like my body of work, my teaching over the last Lord, how many episodes of this podcast, right, involves like getting curious about your own emotional reactions and triggers. Like, why is something setting you off? And never assuming that it's just sort of because the thing is bad. That doesn't mean that you can't, after reflection, decide that, yeah, you think the thing is bad, right? But it's like it never deserves you to be curious about your own reaction, in my belief. So I asked myself why I was irritated. And then my thought was that people were kind of using thought work or this kind of work as a kind of straw man, like they wanted to differentiate themselves as coaches by kind of tearing something else down, and that they were being ungenerous. And so then I looked at that thought and my own thought, right? Like, I had no idea if that was true. I had just made that up. And when I looked at it, that was my ungenerous thought, right? So of course, the way that thoughts work is that when you think someone else is being a thing towards you, you are often also being that thing, right? You are sort of projecting and reflecting the way you are thinking. Because when I was thinking this way, I was differentiating myself from them in my mind by mentally tearing them down, right? So I was like mad that people seemed to be trying to tear down a certain kind of approach to coaching. But then when I looked at my model in my own mind, it was like, oh, well, I'm just trying to tear them down, right? Your thoughts are always mirroring. So I was like, okay, what else could be going on here? Like, that's my thought about ungenerous or tearing down. And what I realized is that I think that many people, and even some coaches, may not actually understand what thought work really is and what it entails. And if that's the case, that's not like their fault. It may be that those of us who teach it and our leaders in the field have not adequately explained what it really means. And that's on us. And I do think that the term thought work is a little misleading, because it's kind of natural to assume that thought work means just working with your thoughts. And if you are going to kind of take it to this very literal place and be kind of reductive about it, you might say it literally just means like trying to thought swap. That's it. Just like not doing anything with your emotions, not paying any attention to your nervous system, values, social conditioning, like none of any of that, just like pure somehow cognitive force with no other considerations. Like you see a thought, you change the thought by force if necessary, that's it. So I think like as a field, as an industry, we maybe have not done the best job naming this. And that's okay. Like it's not on me personally to solve for the whole field. But it is on me to really explain what I mean when I talk about thought work, what I mean by that shorthand, right? And I could call it just coaching, but to me, the term thought work is much more capacious than it just being about your thoughts, because you're not a brain in a jar, right? And in my work and the way that I teach it, you actually cannot effectively change your thinking without paying a great deal of attention to your body, to your somatic experience, to your emotions and your nervous system, right? When I talk about thought work, I'm not talking about a set of tools that privilege the mind over the body. I'm actually talking about a set of tools that integrate the mind and the body, right? There's a reason that when you join the clutch, the very first thing you learn is how to process your emotions, right? How to identify your feelings, how to actually move through them and let them fade and let them flow. That's the first thing you learn, right? So why would I start a thought work program with emotions? Because your emotions are the key to the whole endeavor, to everything we're doing. Your body is the barometer that we use to understand how your thoughts are impacting you, how your nervous system is reacting to things, right? Your body is a crucial piece of the puzzle, and it's not one-way communication. Like your body tells you how your thoughts are working, what your thoughts are creating in your body, and your body is information that it shares with your brain. And then you have more thoughts about the bodily sensations that you're having, right? So you can have a thought, it causes a physical sensation, and then you have thoughts about that sensation. Or you can have a nervous system response, which is, in my book, in a way still driven by, you know, it might not be driven by an explicit conscious thought, but a nervous system reaction is mediated through the brain. So the reason that we have a nervous system reaction is that the brain is remembering something that has happened before and is predicting that it's going to happen again, or is thinking it is happening again, right? That's mediated through your brain. Sometimes I feel like when people talk about the nervous system, they like think that it exists without the brain. Your brain, it's part of it. Your nerves go to your brain. they go to your spinal cord. Your spinal cord goes to your brain, right? So it's all related. And when we think about it as like just this bifurcated system, we're really missing the point. Like thought work, the way that I teach it, is very much about integrating that mind and body experience. It is not about ignoring your emotions, your nervous system, your trauma history, whatever it is. All those things impact both how your brain perceives reality and interprets it, and how that manifests in your body through your emotions, through your nervous system, through the chemical releases that your brain makes when it thinks a thought or thinks that it's experiencing something all over again or whatever is happening, right? It's a really complex, multi-layered system. So thought work is not ignore your feelings, change your thoughts, right? And it's not, there are no real challenges in the world. It's all just thoughts. Like neither of those are accurate kind of explanations of what thought work is, at least the way that I teach it. So the way that I teach it, thought work is the practice of becoming aware of how your thinking is impacting your emotions, your actions, and what you create in your life, right? And when I talk about emotions, I'm sort of including your nervous system in that.
We've all seen the social media posts about hot girl summer, and I'm here to declare instead that I want happy feminist summer. I want all the listeners of this podcast to be happier this summer, even when the world feels like a dumpster fire. It is still important for us to develop the ability to take pleasure in our own lives, to experience joy, relaxation, and rest, not least so that we have more resources to offer back to the world. That has been the story of my life, and that is what I want for all of you. So I am teaching a brand new challenge called the Happy Feminist Challenge this June, from June 17th to June 21st. I am going to be teaching you how to create more daily happiness in your body, how to create that emotion of happiness, and how to connect to your big picture purpose, the life that you want to live, the kind of happiness that really means contentment and fulfillment and satisfaction with your life. These are both things that society tells women that they don't need and shouldn't bother with, and it's selfish to even think about. And you know how I roll. Fuck that noise. This is the Happy Feminist Summer, and you're not going to want to miss it. You can join the challenge by going to unfuckyourbrain.com/happy or text your email to +1-347-997-1784. That's +1-347-997-1784. And the code word is happy. You are not going to want to miss this. Let's get happier together.
Remember, these are all words that humans have made up to describe different experiences that we have in our bodies and different theories about what is going on with those bodily experiences. What is taken as gospel today was not what people believed 200 years ago, and it won't be what people believe 200 years from now. So you never want to like grip too tightly to any of these frameworks. They're just our best understanding now and the way we talk about it now. And we know from our research in this model that we use now that the way that we think about things creates our experiences of them. So any framework, like the framework I'm teaching you, the nervous system framework, the framework you learn from a somatic teacher, the framework you learn from purely, somebody who only works with thoughts, like whatever it is, it's all just different ways of trying to explain something that is opaque to us about like what is happening in our brains and bodies and nervous systems and muscles and tissues and sinews and feelings and all of it. Like, what is this human experience that we are having, right? So the way that I teach this is that thought work is the practice of becoming aware of how your thinking, your brain's processing, whatever that includes, impacts your emotions, your nervous system, your actions, what you create in your life. And then working with yourself to improve your emotional regulation, improve your relationship with yourself, and yeah, change your thinking too, because every element of that is important. And your thoughts impact every element of that. Your thoughts about your emotions impact how you experience your emotions, right? That's the irony to me, is that like when I see somebody saying, hey, listen, like this isn't about thoughts. Here's how to think about your emotions differently. Don't worry about your thoughts. I'm like, you're giving them a new thought about how to think about their emotions, right? Like it's all thoughts all the way down. Your thoughts about your emotions impact how you experiencing them and whether and how you process them. Your thoughts about your nervous system responses impact your ability to understand and regulate your nervous system. They're not the only thing, but they are always involved, right? That's really the core for me about this work, is that sometimes your thoughts are not the only thing going on, but almost always your thoughts are part of what is going on, right? Even if it's just your thoughts about the physical sensation or emotion or nervous system response or whatever that you're experiencing. So it's not just all thoughts, but it's also not just all any other one thing. And I actually think that where a lot of this problem kind of comes from, a lot of the misunderstanding comes from, or the sort of like people divvying up into camps about like, it's all your thoughts, it's all your nervous system, it's all your body, it's all your blah, 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 is that when we're in the mindset of thinking that we are broken and need to be fixed, we are searching for the magic solution. I talk about this also in the podcast, No Gods, No Gurus, right? Which is where I talk about the idea that like, I'm not your guru. I don't have all the answers and I don't want you to think that I do, right? When we are think we're broken and we think we need someone to rescue us and save us, then we are engaging in magical thinking and we want a magic solution. We want one creed above them all to explain everything in our lives, right? And women, especially, or people socialized as women, people socialized in other marginalized identities, are socialized not to trust their own, our own discernment and our own authority, right? And I have a whole podcast episode coming next really about authority and our own authority. So that equation means that we're looking for the solution, like capital T, capital S, trademarked. We want the black and white rule we can follow. We want the guru who will lead us. We want the one thing that we can believe in. We want there to be one creed, one simple rule to follow, so we will always know that we are doing it right. And then we'll finally be able to feel safe and feel okay about ourselves. We want one thing to be the answer and to solve all of our problems. And I think that that's encouraged by the way that there are these like kind of pop psychology fads that sweep through social media, right? Like one year, it's all about boundaries. And then the next year, it's all about meditation. And then the next year, it's all about the nervous system. And then it's going to be all about something else, right? And all of those things are useful and important, but none of them is the one answer. It's not all thoughts. It's not all emotions. It's not all your nervous system. It's not all anything, right? What happens is we want the next thing to be that one solution. And so we go all in and we pledge our fealty and we try to solve all of our problems and fix ourselves using that one thing. And then sometimes we have this sort of initial success where actually it solves quite a few things, but always it hits a wall, right? Because single factorial system will never solve every problem. And so then we feel disillusioned and we feel betrayed because we believe that the one thing promised us salvation and didn't deliver. And to be fair, sometimes we were sold the idea that it would. So there is responsibility on the parts of people who sell their services or sell their framework as this is the only thing you ever need for any problem. The way I talk about it is this is a thing that helps with every problem, which is very different from this is the one thing that will solve every problem. So there is responsibility on those of us who do this work and market it on how we talk about it. There's also responsibility for us in wanting to be sold that way, right? It's on us as well to use our own discernment and to notice when we are looking to be saved, right? The bottom line is we don't need to be fixed. We were never broken. And so here's what I want you to understand and take away. First, thought work is not just about your thoughts, because your thoughts are related to your emotions, your nervous system responses, your circumstances, the world around us, all of it. It's all part of what we call thought work as shorthand, or I do. It's really like brain, body, life work, but that acronym also stands for Brazilian butt lift, which is really not on brand for me, so we can't use that acronym. But it's all about all of it. Thought work is about how to be a more skillful, resilient human, right? And one of the things that I saw hilariously a post on Instagram about this, but I thought it was such a good point recently, and I wish I could remember where I saw it, but it's this idea that like right now, nervous system regulation is the big thing that everybody's constantly attributing everything to. But you can see even in the way that it's deployed that some people are using it as this perfectionistic way to get fixed, as though the goal is to have a perfectly regulated nervous system that never, ever like varies or goes into fight or flight or goes into freeze or goes into fight, whatever, right? This idea that like, oh, there is this promised land where if I can perfectly regulate my nervous system, I'll never have to have negative emotion. So I'm adding that negative emotion. What I saw was this idea of like the goal isn't a perfectly regulated nervous system. But what I take from that and what I think is so powerful is like the way of seeing that this belief that we should always have stable emotions or we should always have a stable nervous system. We should always feel regulated. That's actually just another perfectionist fantasy of like trying to fix ourselves to avoid ever feeling uncomfortable. Part of life is having negative emotion. Part of life is having your nervous system activate sometimes, right? Some degree of dysregulation of negative emotion of whatever, you know, it depends how you define dysregulation. Like, I don't think that we all have to be constantly dysregulated because we've, you know, experienced trauma and never done any work to heal. Like, that's not what I mean. But some degree of negative emotion is normal. That's why we say life is 50-50. Some degree of your nervous system getting activated or shutting down and then coming back to normal, like that up, down, back to normal is normal, some degree of it. Like the goal is not to feel calm and perfect all the time. It's to be more resilient so you can bounce back better and not get stuck, right? Second thing is that thought work does not solve every problem on its own. But I do believe that there is no problem that thought work doesn't help. Because if you are a human with a brain, then you have thoughts about every problem in your life. There's no such thing as a problem in your life that you don't then have a thought about. Even if it's a body, somatic, nervous system, whatever based thing, your cognition is observing it and narrating about it. In fact, the whole reason you know something's a problem and you want to solve it is that you had a thought about it, right? You saw it, analyzed it, and decided that you wanted to change it. That's a thought. So bringing awareness and intention to how you are thinking about a problem in your life, a thought pattern in your mind, a somatic experience in your body, that's thought work. And that is always a good idea, right? And this is why I say thought work is a tool you always need. It just isn't always the only tool you need, right? So I'm just like, say that again. Thought work is always a tool that you need to bring to bear on any problem. It's just not always the only tool. I will never sell you the idea that changing your thoughts will solve every single problem on its own without paying any attention to anything else, right? You do have to consider your emotions, consider your nervous system, consider your circumstances. Like, life is complex and multifactorial. But I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, my deepest belief is that changing your thoughts is part of solving any problem. Even if it's changing your thought from, I should be able to change this with my thoughts, to, maybe I need to also use another tool or get some additional help. That's a thought. It is thoughts all the way down. Nothing in your life is not improved by bringing intentionality and self-compassion to your thought process.
That's what it means to use thought work intentionally in your life. Right? All of the work that I do is about teaching you how to feel empowered and feel able to navigate this human experience more skillfully, more effectively, and with a better relationship with yourself. And I think that that is something that people socialized as women struggle with because we are just not taught that that's important, right? We are taught to care about what other people think and respect other people's opinions and believe other people's expertise and not our own. And that is why helping people socialize as women claim their authority in their own experience and use these tools to create the experience they want is my work in this world is so important to me. All right, my chickens, that is it for this week. I will talk to you next week. If you're loving what you're learning on the podcast, you have got to come check out the Feminist Self-Help Society. It's our newly revamped community and classroom where you get individual help to better apply these concepts to your life, along with a library of next-level, blow-your-mind coaching tools and concepts that I just can't fit in a podcast episode. It's also where you can hang out, get coached, and nerd out about all things thought work and feminist mindset with other podcast listeners just like you and me. It's my favorite place on earth, and it will change your life, I guarantee it. Come join us at www.unfuckyourbrain.com/society. I can't wait to see you there. Pop quiz, have you signed up for the Happy Feminist Challenge yet? This is a brand new challenge that I am running mid-June, starts June 17th, where we are going to be learning how to create both of the two kinds of happiness. First, the happiness we get to feel as an emotion in our bodies on a day-to-day basis, which society tells us we shouldn't care about and we are guilty or selfish for even wanting to experience because we're women. And the second form of happiness, the big picture, life satisfaction and fulfillment happiness, which society tells us comes from living up to impossible social standards that we can never meet. Neither of those things are frivolous, silly, or selfish. In fact, learning how to create more happiness, small and big picture in your life, is how you show up with all of your gifts and everything you can offer to the world in such a bigger, stronger way. And it just makes life a lot more fun. So I am going to be teaching you exactly how to do both those things this feminist challenge, this happy feminist challenge. Text your email to +1-347-997-1784. And the code word is happy, or go to unfuckyourbrain.com/happy. I can't wait to get happier with all of you. I'll see you there.